David has become so convinced that if we're walking in obedience to God's word, there ain't nothing can touch us. Nothing. Yesterday, he and I was flying down to Temple, and we're going south. And of course, when you take off from right out here and you go south, and when you get about 10 or 15 miles, maybe 20 miles south of here, there is antenna towers sticking up everywhere down there. And some of those things are 2,000 and 3,000 feet tall. So we were watching, but yesterday I did not have the GPS software turned on that tells me where all those towers were. So we're flying in an area we have to fly at 2,000 feet or under. So we were flying at 2,000. We're looking, and then we get to the 3,000 foot, and I'm messing with stuff, and I'm flying along there, and I'm looking out every once in a while, and all of a sudden I said, well, Dave, I think I'll go up to at least 3,500. And so I just pulled the nose up a little, and just as we start up, Dave says, wow, praise God. I said, what do you mean? He said, look. And I looked, and right beside us, when I pulled up, we went over a 2,000-foot tower about 200 feet. They said, Thurman, if you serve God. He said, do you know if we wasn't serving God, and we wasn't doing something right, you know we could have hit the top of that tower? You know I could have ruined mine in your whole day. Is that true? But if you're putting God first, is he going to put the thought in your heart to raise up to go over it instead of hit it, right? Isn't he awesome? Do you think it pays good dividends to serve Jesus? It pays great dividends to serve Jesus. Now then, let's look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Let's go and look at these two scriptures. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, he told us this under the old covenant over 700 years before it became a reality. Isn't that amazing that God would tell us this so far in advance that this is what he was going to do? Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So if we get a hold of that, in fact, I've made this statement before to a lot of people, and I don't think it sinks in. Technically speaking, if that scripture is a reality to you, you really don't have to have anybody to pray for you anymore as a Christian. You just repent of your sin, whatever sin you had, and say, Lord, it says by your stripes I'm healed. So if I am, I am. Well, let's go to Matthew 8:16-17, and let's find out what happens at the fulfillment of this scripture here in Isaiah 53. We go to Matthew 8:16-17, and let's see what Matthew 8:16-17 says. Now, Jesus is on the scene now. Jesus has come on the scene. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed how many? All that was sick. Now, how did he get the devils out? He cast them out. That's just like when somebody said, well, see right there, Jesus, he didn't say anything about repenting of your sin. In Mark chapter 1, when you go back and look at Mark chapter 1, you will find out that Jesus clearly said he sent John the Baptist in advance, 6 months, and all of Israel came out to be baptized for the remission of their sins. How many? He said all. All of them came out to have their sins remitted and be baptized. So if all of Israel had come out to see John the Baptist and he had baptized them and they had all repented of their sins and baptized for the remission of their sins, how many of their sins were forgiven? All. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, it's real easy for him now, which he has power over the devil now because they have no more legal claim. Because the sin's been remitted. And so it's easy. He takes his word. They brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. How do these devils get into us today? Sin. They get in because of sin. Somebody says, you know, I have a problem with that. Do you know that there's almost nobody in church today that don't have a devil? Does that make you feel very comfortable to know that you got a devil or a demon living inside of you? You know? But we nearly all do. How do they get in? Because of sin. I want to take you to a scripture that confirms that. People have a problem with that. I want to take you to a scripture in 1 John 5:18. And I want you to see what opens the door to the devil. Now then, this will challenge you. This will give you a new place to walk. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Okay, now let me ask you a question. I want a show of hands. How many of you in here know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're a born-again Christian? You know that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay, I think that's every one of us. Okay, praise God. Every one of us know that we're a born-again Christian. He says, if we know that we're born-again Christian, how many times are we supposed to sin? What does it mean, sinneth not? That's what it means? So then why do me and you sin so often?
Well, because...
maybe I should have said, why do I sin so often? But I got a feeling you're a human being just like me, right? Yeah. You have shortcomings too, right, brother?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so at least we're not lying, are we? But I look at this scripture, and the first time I begin to dwell on this, I thought, God, I can't be a born-again Christian. It's impossible. I mean, do you know that you sin every once in a while? So what's wrong? I think everybody, every one of us knows that we sin too much, don't we? Yeah. But he says here, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, when I did go out and check it out and check the Greek out on this, I did get some relief on this. That we know that if we're a born again Christian, we don't practice sinning every day. That made it a little easier for me. I thought, okay, God, I can be a child of God then. I am saved because, Lord, I don't practice sinning. You know, I'm not a married man, and I don't have a girlfriend out of town, so that every time I go out of town, I move in with my girlfriend while I'm out of town. That practice sinning, right? Or whatever. When I'm out of town, I lie. I'm a businessman, and I don't tell the truth because I could never get as much business done if I had to tell the truth. I got to stretch the truth a little. That's a lie. That's practice lying, right? Now, if I'm a born-again Christian, I can't do that, right? That's right. I got to walk holy and obedient to God's word. If I am out there continually lying to my business partners or whatever, then that means I'm not a born-again Christian. I may say, I'm a Christian, I go to church every Sunday, but Thurman, we know we heard you lie 5 times last week. But I had to do that to get this money, to make this deal. Now, if I had to do that to make that deal, who am I trusting? Me and not God. And so according to the Word of God, I'm not a born-again Christian, right? I need to get saved. That's the whole thing. But he says there, we know that whosoever is born of God does not practice sinning. But he that is begotten of God, he keeps himself, that means from evil, from sin. And look what he says, if you keep yourself from evil, then the wicked one, what can he not do? He what? He can't touch me? Now, is that good news? Would you like to know as a child of God that if you walk in obedience to God's word, the devil can't touch you? Would that be good news? Is that what that says? That's what it says. So that challenges us today, doesn't it? That means no more sin, right? So now if we don't sin, what can the devil do to us? Nothing. But if we go around practicing sin, what can he do? He can come into you. Now then, I don't know hardly anybody in the church that don't commit a little sin once in a while. Do you know that? I was telling one of the couples that I was here talking with earlier today, Well, I says one of the areas, and of course we were, since they were husband and wife, we were talking. And she said something about, she said, we've been listening to your teaching for a long time, but when I heard about the submitting to my husband. Do you girls have a problem with submitting to your husbands? Absolutely. Absolutely. Every one of you. This girl looked at me like, not me. I don't have a problem. Well, let me tell you, I think you do. You know, I think every woman here has a problem submitting. Do you agree with that? Is it easy to submit to your husband all the time? No, it's not. Absolutely not. You know, because you're a woman and he's a man. And he wants to do things. And it's so difficult to talk with your spouse and then be the wife. And he said, well, honey, this is the decision I want to make. This is what I'm going to do. And she said, okay, no problem. And just walk off and submit to him 100%. No. She might say that, and then whenever it doesn't go just right, boy, she'll jump right down your throat and say, see, I told you last week, if you did it your way, it wasn't going to go. No, I know none of y'all have ever been guilty of that, right? Yeah, sure you have. Yeah, see? Now, see, that's where you fall short. And when you just did that, what did you just open the door to? A who? A devil. Now, how would you like to get a devil? You want one? No. Now, how many, after just hearing these little tiny things, how many of us probably get these things on a regular basis? It would probably be a good idea to repent of sin regularly and command the devil to leave, right? I mean, because if you do not, when these things come in, they get in, and they get in, and they get in, and they get in. Then it'd be like the little girl was out in Silver City, New Mexico, when I was going to deliver her in the name of Jesus. Whenever the demons manifest, and I said, how many of you demons are in there? This was the greatest number of demons. And one little 40-year-old, beautiful, homeschooling mother, she had four beautiful little children, and she was a student of God's Word. I mean, this woman's, her Bible looks like my wife's Bible. I mean, you know, when you look at Cheryl's Bible, it'll make it where you look at it. You see this? It's marked up all over. You reckon she's been there before? Her Bible is like that from cover to cover.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, This Book Is Alive, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.